your home of the Jason and John Show. Weekdays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m.
Well, hello there.
WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write.
He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interviews. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage. Bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble and dust, cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say,
you know, we got a lot to do today. Jonah Jordan's going to join us from Daily Memphian. Chris Harrington is going to join us from the Daily Memphian. We got Tigers to talk about. We got Grizzlies to talk about. We got Tiger football and basketball to talk about. We got Penny Hardaway to talk about. We got a lot of things to talk about, but just indulge me for a minute, if you could. I'd like to play you. You know, there's certain things that gladden a man's heart. And for me, one of those things unfolded yesterday when the Miami Dolphins took on the New England Patriots. And the Miami Dolphins were DOA, wouldn't you say?
I would say that is more than
they were toast.
I believe, actually, they had like a 100. I believe that there was like a 99.9% chance they were losing the game.
There was a 99.9% chance they were losing the game. And then this happened.
New England's got Gronkowski down here.
Yeah, Gronkowski standing at about the 15-yard line.
He couldn't tackle anybody.
I don't know why he's back there.
I know why. They throw it up in the air. He knocked it down.
That's exactly why. Tannehill, last shot, back to throw. They throw it down. They try to pitch it, and they do to Parker. Parker pitches it. And it's Greg, 30, 20. Gronkowski's got a tackle.
The Dolphins win it.
Unbelievable.
Are you kidding me? That is unbelievable!
I don't believe what I just saw!
There are no flags!
No flags!
And the game is
over!
69 yards! They've got to review it! The question is, would he...
I didn't have to review it. Are you allowed to say I don't believe what I just saw? That's a total ripoff of Vin, isn't it?
Yeah, but in that situation, what else is there to say?
It is kind of funny that Gronk was on there, and it was a 69-yard.
I know, right?
Yeah, it's all fits. But indulge me again. This is just, listen.
According to ESPN, Jeff, they had a 100% chance of winning on the last play, they being the Patriots.
But again, it's one of the pleasures of having your own radio shows. You get to play whatever you like. And so we've heard it from the Dolphins' perspective. What's truly delightful is to hear it from the New England perspective. Here it is.
Tannehill for the Dolphins survey. What he sees in front of him, a field of defensive backs.
He's laughing.
And a hawking tight end who stands at the 15-yard line. Tannehill throws down the middle, caught by Stills. Laterals back to Parker, who flips it to Drake. He runs across the 40 of New England, angling inside to the 30, 25, 20, 15, 10. He's going to win the foot race to the end zone. The Dolphins are going to win it on the lateral. Once, then twice, and Drake takes it in, and the Patriots stand stunned in disbelief.
You can let this play for a minute. They seem to be speechless.
They're not really doing well finding words.
After the oh Jesus, the one guy kind of...
It was Sunday.
Opted out.
I don't know what to say.
The Patriots, it's at the end of the first half. And at the end of the second half, they left points on the field several times today.
That was a lot of fun. Wasn't the biggest story of the weekend here in Memphis, but it was a lot of fun for me. Again, Jonah Jordan is going to be joining us in just a little bit, and Chris Harrington will be joining us as well. And we got a whole bunch of other stuff, including the breakup of a romance.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm. And, you will want to hear about. So we have lots to talk about. I thought we'd start, though, with the news that Kenny Dillingham from the University of Memphis is headed to Auburn. That broke late last night. He is going to become the new offensive coordinator for Gus Malzahn. And there are a few angles to this. First, good for Kenny Dillingham. Here's a guy, he got injured his senior year of high school, okay? And so he goes to Arizona State, and he starts coaching. I think it's Chaparral High School was the name of the high school, a JV team, while he's in college. And actually, at one point, asks Mike Norvell if he can hang out, because Mike Norvell was there, and Norvell said, sure, just show up. And he showed up and 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 showed up. And then they ended up giving him menial positions. And even when he came to Memphis 3 years ago, he was a GA. He came to Memphis as a GA. And now he is offensive coordinator at Auburn, making, what do you think? He was making two something at Memphis this year because he'd been elevated offensive coordinator, although he did not call the plays and will not call the plays at Auburn because Gus Malzahn has said he is going to...
What?
Yep, take back the play calling. I know that comes as a shock to you. But they're close, Mike Norvell and Gus Malzahn. And so the first thing is, I don't know that he's making a million because you don't have to pay him a million.
No, my guess would have been the
750.
Yeah, my guess was going to be somewhere between that $600,000 to $800,000 range.
Yeah, somewhere in there. Not bad for 29-year-old. Like, that's pretty good.
Dadgummit, he's younger than I am. Gosh,
that is interestingly one of the thresholds of life when you realize. Now, I've long since sailed past.
Right. I'm not bitter.
There are thresholds. It happens in sports when you realize you are older than the athletes that you're covering, like that's or rooting for or whatever. And then it also happens there when you realize that people younger than you are doing, with all due respect, Jeffrey, much better than you. You just have to get used to it. It's going to happen. It's not the end of the world. But yes, he is younger than you. So he just turned 29 very recently.
I'm better looking than you.
Yeah. Arguable.
You see my beard lately?
So good for Kenny Dillingham. I think the first thing we can say is. Second thing is, good for the program, the University of Memphis. Do you realize this was once upon? We have gone from graveyard to breadbasket.
Yes.
Right? It is not often that you can go, this was truly a coaching graveyard. Certainly head coaches, and that's not obviously any reference to the tragic loss of Rex Dockery, which actually was a graveyard. But basically, you didn't get out of here. If you were head coach here, that was the end of your career. Rip Shear used to bemoan it all the time, what a mistake it was for him to take this job. And And now we're in a position where if you count Fuente's staff, which is a little unfair to do it, but if you count Fuente's staff, there are 10 assistants who've gone to Power 5 jobs in the last, 4 years. And just recently, you've lost them to Chip Long as offensive coordinator at Notre Dame, Daryl Dickey to Texas A&M, Dan Lanning to Georgia. You've lost them to Tennessee. And now Kenny Dillingham. It is a springboard. And that's what it should be. Is it difficult? Yes, it's difficult. There are only three coaches in from Norvell's original staff, according to Jordan Jones. We'll talk to him in just a minute, who are still left on this staff. But it is, as they say, an incredible compliment. It's not just a compliment, it's a reflection of what they do. Like, people out there can be critical of the University of Memphis if they want, which seems insane to me, Memphis fans, but it's always seemed insane to me. But the people who watch how this program operates seem to be saying, I want a piece of that. And that is really good news for the University of Memphis. The other good news for the University of Memphis is, and don't you believe this is true? If Mike Norvell were leaving for a Power 5 job, Kenny Dillingham would just go with Mike Norvell.
Yes, I agree.
So it absolutely, and we've been saying all along that we believed he would likely stay here. But it does appear that Mike Norvell will likely stay here, because if he was going to a Power 5 job, he would have just hung in there and stayed with Mike Norvell, who's really responsible for his career. It's one of the interesting things Mike Norvell talks about is how you, and it applies beyond sports as well, how you get ahead in life, and how you, the mentors. And mentors, there's a lot of mentorship programs and incredibly valuable in this city where there's so many young boys and men and young girls as well, women, who need mentors. And there's a lot of formal mentorship programs. But a lot of times mentors just turn out that they don't even have that official title. Right. They just, I mean, I'll be honest. I think I was a mentor for John Martin. I was never his mentor. Right. Official title.
I mean, there's no question. It's who do you attach yourself to?
And who do you learn from and respect, yes, and whatever else? And there's a bunch of people in my life. Gordon Eads, who was a long time. He was a baseball writer at the Fort Lauderdale Sun Sentinel when I was there, but then also at the Boston Globe and ESPN. And he has been a mentor to me. The sports editor at Fort Lauderdale was a mentor to me. Editors here who I've worked with, and they know who they are, have been mentors to me. So we all have them, I think. I mean, I think it's a wise thing to do. And Mike Norvell talks about the time that he was a receiver at Central Arkansas, and he saw this guy standing on the sidelines just watching practice, a gentleman. And he went over and he shook hands with him and thanked him and said, introduced himself, asked what he was doing here, and said, thank you for coming out and watching. And turned out he was a coach, I think, from somewhere else. And that guy he kept in touch with and later helped him get his first job. Mike Norvell didn't have any particular, you know, he wasn't a Heisman Trophy winner. He didn't have any particular connections in the college football world. So when he was actually looking for a place on staff, it's that coach who really gave him a boost. So anyway, and Kenny Dillingham has been that to Mike. So congratulations to Kenny Dillingham. And
congratulations to Memphis, which appears he's going to be keeping Mike Norvell.
Don't you think that's the unavoidable conclusion?
Yes.
Now, the other angle of this, of course, is the Auburn situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because Gus Malzahn is, by and large, ridiculed these days for overcoaching, being too clever, not letting his offensive coordinators call plays.
Go on.
Et cetera. I mean, I hear this in particular from you.
Mm-hmm.
Who else do we... basically anyone.
Anyone that's ever covered Auburn.
Anyone that covers Auburn. So like, what's going to happen at Auburn? That's the interesting question. You would think that Kenny Dillingham is on track to being one of the youngest head coaches in college football right now. At age 29, you would think if he's successful, he'll be a head coach by 32, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Very but are they so. Going to be successful? What's going to happen in Auburn next year?
The answer to that is, if you're making me pick today, no. But
you think he'll be fired? Not Kenny Dillingham, Melzahn.
Correct. If you made me pick today, yes. But the reason why... So Gus Malzahn has agreed to...
take less money.
Lower his buyout. He has agreed to several other program-altering restrictions, if you will, because he believes that this team next year...
will be good.
...is going to be good. And in fairness to Gus Malzahn, the way Auburn's schedule plays out, odd number years are always the chances for them to have their run because for whatever the reason is, they play Alabama and Georgia at the same, like they either play them on the road in the same year or they play them
and next
at home. And next year's the home year.
Right.
And that's...
who's the quarterback? Is Stidham?
Not, by all accounts, Stidham's leaving. And that is kind of the other issue. They thought they were getting Kelly Bryant. Like, I talked to people that were around the program. No one ever said, for sure, like, oh, yeah, like, he's coming here. But everyone said, you know, it's them or Missouri, and they felt pretty good. Or Arkansas, and Auburn felt good. And then he picks Missouri.
Interesting.
I don't even know who their quarterback is. I mean, I think it's probably going to be the high school kid that's coming in. But that's kind of another issue.
That's a tough way to.
It's another issue with Gus. Gus doesn't have a great track record with the high school kids. He's done pretty well when he gets a JUCO kid.
Right. Well, all right. Congratulations to Kenny Dillingham and to the University of Memphis. In other news, Saturday was a big day at FedEx Forum.
Indeed it was.
And we'll just take it chronologically.
All right.
I went there for both games. And in the morning, Memphis handled UAB. Not a great UAB team. But let's remember, just a year ago, Memphis lost to UAB. And so Memphis handled UAB. As Penny said, it was their first rout, really. Keevan Davenport was superb. Tyler Harris was really good again. And so that was fun. The other fun thing that happened was that the Penny Hardaway bobbleheads were given out. And I have a story up at the Daily Memphian. I've tweeted it out about the bobblehead. It is chapter 6 in the Penny Hardaway saga over at the Daily Memphian. And
you didn't steal one of these. Excuse me. You didn't pick up one of these, did you?
I have. Okay. The truth is that they gave me one.
Okay.
At the media availability on Thursday.
Okay, but you didn't steal the drummers?
I was just handed one. I did not steal. Did I take another?
Yes.
When I was chronicling the events, did I walk up and put my hand? Yes, I did.
Okay.
So now I have two.
Did it belong to someone else?
No, but okay. Should I? I've contemplated giving it away. I think right now, I literally looked on eBay. They are $100 on eBay right now. Things are tight at Christmas time. Things are tight at Christmas time. So
extra holiday cash.
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't determined what I'm going to do with it. But
to be clear, this was not the drummers.
It was not. It was nobody else. There are a couple things that were striking about it. One is how much it really did mean to Penny. And it's sort of funny because he's had bobbleheads in Orlando, and he's had bobblehead in Phoenix, and there's a Memphis State bobblehead, and like there are plenty of bobbleheads out there of Penny Hardaway. He doesn't have any of them. He doesn't keep any of them. He is going to keep this one because it's the first one of Penny Hardaway in a suit. And if you stop and think about it, you think, well, why would he want the one of him in a suit? Like being an NBA player is more glamorous than being a college basketball coach, right? But in a way, and I really think this is true, there is not a time that Penny can remember when he didn't know he was going to play in the NBA. Don't you believe that's true? Like he didn't know he was going to be a basketball star. I bet he cannot remember a time where he didn't think he was going to be a basketball star.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair.
And I think
there's probably a time of mental consciousness.
Yeah, that I'm going to be a basketball. That's what I am. I'm a basketball star.
Yes, that seems fair.
I think he has no consciousness of other than thinking he was going to be a basketball star. And then dreaming of being in the NBA. But I think probably pretty early it occurred to him he was going to be in the NBA. He was that special. So whatever. So those bobbleheads just represented what he knew he'd always be. This bobblehead represents a second act that is humbling to him, honestly, that he didn't dream of forever, that he didn't know he'd be able to achieve, and that it's a job that was held by Jean Bartow, and it was a job that was held by Larry Finch, and it is a job that...
Speaking of mentors.
Yeah, and speaking of mentors. And so I think... That's why the bobblehead of Penny in the suit, he says, I'm going to get one and I'm going to cherish it in a way that he did not his other bobbleheads. And I know we're just talking about a silly bobblehead, but I think that's why it meant so much to him. And then from the fan perspective, they were lined up 90 minutes before the game. And to me, the most striking thing was it was to the first 7,500. These bobbleheads, by the way, are made in China. I talked to Lee Rainey, who was working on this, and the bobbleheads are made in China, and he was terrified that it was going to be bad because you don't see you see pictures of the bobblehead as they're being sculpted.
Right.
You send them pictures. The sculptor sends you pictures back and says this is what it looks like, and you make tweaks, and they make whatever. And the first one was evidently he was bald, and they said no, he can't have that. And so they made a whole bunch of tweaks, and then they finally showed it to Penny, and he approved. But it's still a photo. The other thing is the FedEx form doesn't allow. They don't keep things for more than 2 days, so it can't arrive. Game Saturday, it arrives Thursday at FedEx Forum. Okay, so. Like, you don't get a month, and then you get to send it back and say, you got to tweak this. Like, mm-hmm. The first time, it's done by the time you see the bobblehead. Lee Rainey was in fear. He said, because you can't screw up Penny in this town, right? And there's some bad bobbleheads, right?
Yeah.
There's some bad bobbleheads. There's some bad statues out there of people, right? So you can't screw up Penny. He actually got his first one on Tuesday. He got one a couple days early, and he just said, oh, thank God. Because it's a pretty good bobblehead. The amazing thing to me, though, about it was that they gave away to the first 7,500. Since when in Memphis could you give something away to the first 7,500? At a Tiger game. The first 7,500. That, like, we measure things in ticket stubs and attendance count and whatever. I'm going to measure things now in bobbleheads handed out. It was to the first 7,500. If you look at the games in December last year, they would have had to combine three games to get to give away 7,500 bobbleheads.
Well, as you said, their scientific method for announcing attendance last year was looking at the building and then saying, what can we get away with?
So, but if you look at the actual tickets, the actual turnstile accounts, because we got them subsequently, they would have had to bundle together even two. If you'd gone the Mercer and Bryant game and handed given everyone a bobblehead, you would have still had bobbleheads left over. And here, the last bobblehead went, and I watched it, and it was a frenzy. The woman who was handing them out said it feels like Black Friday. It went 20 minutes before the tip. The last bobblehead. So attendance, I think, was 13,000 something was what it was officially listed as. But so that was a lot of fun. And the Tigers handled them with ease.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go to the second.
And nothing else happened the rest of the day.
And then nothing else happened the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was that.
Everyone had a wonderful Friday or a wonderful Saturday
and
evening.
Nothing else happened the rest of the day.
Yeah, nothing else.
No, and nothing else happened. No, and then the Lakers game happened. It's the Lakers have played here 32 times.
Mm-hmm.
This is the worst loss. That whole scene, the Laker fans coming in, the LeBron fans coming in, the giddy screaming, the shrieking, mm-hmm. the all that stuff. It's irritating, right? But understandable. It happens everywhere. It's no different in Memphis than it is in New Orleans, than it is in Atlanta, than it is in anywhere. Like, this is what happens. But the great pleasure is sending him home with an L, right?
Right.
And making him sit there in No, that's not what happened. What actually happened was...
the Grizzlies had no interest in scoring?
Well, you know, you could tell at the very beginning of the game, here's what would happen. Garrett Temple would get an open corner three, and he'd miss. And Garrett Temple would get another open corner three, and he'd miss. And Garrett Temple got another open corner
three. What happened this time?
And he missed. And you're just like, what in the world? I think they began 2 of 16 from the, all they were doing was shooting threes. They were wide and wide.
They were good looks.
They were good looks, and they just couldn't hit a damn thing. And then, as they say, offense spilled into defense. It was a back to back. Now, mind you, it was a back to back for the Lakers too. So that's only takes you so far. But after the game, it was interesting because JB Bickerstaff came in and said, "Just one of those games. We didn't have it." But he also said this: "I think the people in that locker room have earned the respect, and we know who they are." And he wasn't even mad. And I understand some Memphis Grizzly fans are mad, especially if you paid whatever ticket for those tickets. But Hubie Brown used to say that there are five games a year where you're just going to not miss anything, and you're just going to roll.
Yep.
And there are five games in a year where you're just not going to have it, and you just flush those, right? And this was one of those. And they just didn't have it. But and it would if this was representative of who the Grizzlies are and have been, then you have a right to be furious, right? Not caring, getting just demolished on the boards, every loose ball the Lakers got. If that represents what these Grizzlies are, then you have a right to be absolutely livid. But they haven't had a game like this since the opener against Indiana. And they didn't. They simply didn't have it. That's it. The end. And it's too bad. It was in front of the biggest crowd of the year. That's where they didn't have it. But that's it. They didn't have it. And I'm not inclined to beat them up for it. And then, of course, the other nice story was that's gone viral is that at the end of the game, LeBron James gave his shoes to. The equipment manager who manages the visiting team, helps the visiting team, he had noticed that she, and the video of him actually giving her the shoes and her weeping is just really sweet and touching. And no matter what you think about LeBron, it was hard not to be moved at his generosity, that he noticed her and that he noticed that she, you can treat the people around you who pick up paper, the Gatorade cups and who, you can treat them with like dirt, like they don't exist, like they're not human, or you can recognize your common humanity. And to me, that's what he did. He saw her, right? He saw the shoes that she was wearing. He saw how hard she worked, and he decided to reward her. And she was absolutely moved, and it was a really, really sweet thing to see. All right, we are going to talk to Jonah Jordan in just a moment, but before I do, I got to tell you, Christmas is coming. The geese are getting fat, and it's time to get to Robert Irwin Jewelers. Here are some ideas. You need ideas? People need gift ideas, right? Time and eternity necklaces. Diamond necklace made from interwoven rings representing time and eternity. High-performance diamond in the center represents the woman you love. While regular diamonds contain 57 facets, Time and Eternity necklaces feature a diamond with 89 facets for extra light, performance, and sparkle from $75 to $799. 1-carat diamond stud earrings, $799. 4-carat diamond tennis bracelets, $2799. The Loves Crossing jewelry that I've told you about before, intertwining diamonds set in gold and silver to represent the twists and turns and curves of life, $199. Or maybe this is the time, Christmas, New Year, it's the perfect time to get engaged. Choose from handcrafted engagement rings featuring bright, sparkling center diamonds. Choose from shapes like round, oval, princess cut. Each one is one of a kind because, let's be honest, she is unlike any other. And now Robert Irwin Jewelers is also giving you a new choice. Alter-created diamonds grown above the ground in a greenhouse, which makes them 1, environmentally friendly, 2, 100% conflict-free, 3, they are 100% identical to mine diamonds because, listen to this, they are diamonds. That's why they are 100% identical to mined diamonds, because they are diamonds. The only difference is where they came from. They're 25 to 30% less expensive, so you can get a bigger, brighter diamond for less money. Go check them out, Robert Irwin Jewelers. There's four local locations, or online at rijewelers.com. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. When we come back, Jonah Jordan's going to join us. We'll talk all things Memphis Tigers. It's Jeff Glockenshow, 92.9 FM ESPN.
When the deadline clock is ticking, an unreliable network can cost your business money. That's why you need Comcast Business. Our gig speed network is fast, and we go beyond fast with the complete reliability of 4G LTE backup, which means that even if something like construction accidentally knocks out the power, you can still upload that big presentation, email important clients, invoice customers, and not take a hit to your company's bottom line. For a limited time, switch to Comcast Business and get an amazing deal on fast, reliable internet. Get 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add two voice mobility lines. Just one more way Comcast Business goes beyond other providers. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Offerings 12/31/18. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra subject to change. Connection Pro backup limited to up to 6 hours and requires Comcast Business Internet.
Hey, Tennessee. GEICO presents Need to Know Information, because you have to draw the line between what you need to know and what you don't.
Yesterday, I did nothing but eat potato chips and ice cream and listen to 80s emo music.
See, didn't need to know that. But when it comes to insurance, the more you know, the better. Like knowing GEICO is the second largest auto insurer in the country. Plus, they've been around for over 75 years and have a 97% customer satisfaction rating.
I only floss my teeth twice a year when the dentist does it for me.
Again, not really needed. But knowing GEICO offers more than just car insurance is important. Like motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. And the GEICO Insurance Agency can help you insure your home, apartment, and condo.
Sometimes I act like I'm texting someone, but I'm really just taking a bunch of selfies.
And not needed. But you should know GEICO has local agents in your area that could help you find even more ways to save. And GEICO offers emergency roadside service. Switching insurance is an important decision. You can never know too much about it. So, Tennessee, contact GEICO online, over the phone, or at your local office for all the information you really need.
It's the Ram Big Finish event, where unbeatable capability meets unbeatable deals on our entire lineup of Ram trucks. You won't need an extravagant light display when the true showstopper is the Ram 1500, named one of Ward's 10 best interiors. Nor will any holiday errand be too much to handle, thanks to Ram 1500's best-in-class V8 towing and the available Hemi V8 engine. And with Ram 3500's best-in-class fifth-wheel towing, you'll give Old St. Nick's sled a run for its money. During the Ram Big Finish event, finance and get $7,050 in total values on the all-new 2019 Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew Cab. And current competitive pickup owners get an additional $1,000 bonus cash. Class based on light-duty pickups and 350, 3500 pickups when properly equipped. Properly secure all cargo. Always tow within the vehicle's capacity. Total values include combined cash allowances and 2300 Bighorn package value. Financing for all qualified buyers through Chrysler Capital. Not all buyers will qualify. No trade-in required. Current truck must be registered to consumer for 30 days prior to purchase. Residency restrictions apply. Take delivery by 1/2/19.
Let's up your life with Let's.
Looking to raise the standard on Christmas gifts this year? Come see us at Lads for the perfect golf car to surprise your loved one. We have them in new and used models with plenty of options to add and customize. The all-new club car Onward is sure to be the talk of the household this holiday season. Lads, Witten and I-40, or visit us online at ladsonline.com.
Lads, up your life with Lads. Lads, up your life.
Pep Boys has gifts for every driver on your list, but they're nearly impossible to wrap. Take a tire. You ever try to wrap one? Yeah, not so easy. Brake pads? Disaster. Exhaust system? A total Frankenwrap. So, the pros at Pep Boys invented the amazing shrinking gift kit. It can reduce tires, a battery, rotors, or even an oil change down to the size of a gift card. Just load the card with any amount you choose, and voila! Now it's easy to give any driver the gift they really wanted.
Joy to the drive. Only at Pep Boys.
See PepBoys.com for gift card details.
Make your holiday entertaining a breeze with help from your Kroger deli. You'll find great party platters, desserts, and more. Visit Kroger.com/order online today.
92.9 FM, 680 AM, and 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
I got good news. We got tickets for the Tigers versus Tennessee. Right now, you go online, you find some way up in the rafters, not many, but the Daily Memphian is giving away a penny package for the Tigers versus Tennessee this Saturday, December 15th. We'll talk about Tennessee in a little bit, too. They had a hell of a win yesterday over Gonzaga. But anyway, here's the penny package. Two tickets to the game, a Daily Memphian hoodie, and a signed basketball from Penny Hardaway himself. All you have to do is go to dailymemphian.com/penny and give us your email to register. That's it. dailymemphian.com/penny. Type in your email, and you are registered to win two tickets to the Memphis and Tennessee game, a Daily Memphian hoodie, and a signed basketball from Penny Hardaway himself. Daily Memphian, of course, is my new employer. New employer of Jonah Jordan, new employer of Chris Harrington, new employer of Jennifer Biggs. It is your local digital daily news source, owned, not owned because it's a nonprofit, but run entirely out of Memphis. It is a nonprofit, so all of the, there's no corporate overlords to make happy or out of town editors to make happy. Costs a mere $7 a month or 23 cents a day. But honestly, you don't have to subscribe to register for the penny package. You just have to send your email to dailymemphian.com/penny, dailymemphian.com/penny, and you can register to win two tickets to the Memphis Tennessee game, a Daily Memphian hoodie, and a signed basketball from Penny Hardaway himself. So do that over at Daily Memphian. Plus, read my most recent chapter on Penny Hardaway at dailymemphian.com. Speaking of Daily Memphian, joined now by Jonah Jordan. He covers University of Memphis for the Daily Memphian, and which means he is covering, we'll get to basketball in a moment, which means he is covering some comings and goings in the coaching world, the latest being Kenny Dillingham to Auburn. What do you say about that, Jonah?
I mean, it's a perfect fit, in all honesty. If it didn't shock me that he decided to pick Auburn because, I mean, they've been looking for an offensive coordinator for a little bit, and Gus Malzahn and Mike Norvell have worked together for a little bit. Back in the day, and if you want Mike Norvell's offense, the closest you can get is Kenny Dillingham. Nobody knows it better. Nobody knows the in and outs, and honestly, I mean, he's pretty much, somebody put it to me this way, he's pretty much a clone of Mike Norvell in a lot of ways, so Auburn got what they wanted.
It's interesting. I mean, Kenny Dillingham is a rising star. There's no question about that. Just turned 29, and as you pointed out in your on Twitter, and you've also written about this, he's poised now to become a head coach by the time he's 32, it appears. But he hasn't called plays. He didn't call plays here. He's not going to call plays there. How much is that going to be held against him? What is an offensive coordinator if you're not calling plays? You're really a quarterback's coach, sort of, right? I mean, if you're ultimately not the play caller, are you really an offensive coordinator?
So the way it worked at Memphis is that they worked together. I think Kenny would pick out a certain few plays and present them to Norvell in some situations, or there'd be a lot of dialogue back and forth. I don't think he was calling every single play, but he had a lot to do with the process.
I see.
Like, it wasn't like he was not involved in the process at all. It wasn't like they were going through and it was like, oh, Kenny, I'm doing this, and he just had to say, okay. There was a lot of dialogue. I don't know how it's going to be at Auburn. Because I haven't dealt with Malzahn, I don't know how that situation will work. But I will bet that he has to call plays down the line. Like you said, it could be used against him. I mean, if he never calls plays, it will be used against him and when he wants to go ahead and get a coaching job somewhere. So I bet that is part of the deal, though. I bet down the line he will take over full play calling duties. I think that I've read a little bit that Gus Malzahn wants this next season to be on him. That the buck will stop with him because of the situation they were in this season at Auburn. But who knows? I mean, I thought Dillingham's next stop would actually be and involve play calling duty. So I was kind of surprised, honestly, that was a part of the deal at Auburn.
So on the one hand, it's an incredible compliment to Mike Norvell. On the other hand, it is a little bit of a blow to keep losing these dudes. But let's focus on the compliment first. He's now lost people to Notre Dame, Tennessee, Auburn, Georgia, Texas A&M. I mean, it's fairly amazing, and it speaks incredibly well of Mike Norvell and the people he hires, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the first round of coaches he hired were guys he was close with and guys he knew were going to be rising stars, like Dan Lanning. Dan Lanning, I just tweeted out, a guy I thought would be in consideration to replace Chris Ball if Chris Ball does end up taking the Northern Arizona job. He's getting consideration for the Colorado defensive coordinator job. Marcus Woodson, he's at Auburn, a rising guy up in the defensive ranks over there, cornerback coach. The David Johnson over Tennessee, the wide receivers coach, they love him. And then he's been able to go out and replace those guys with even better guys who are going to be in the same situation next year or the next. I mean, he has got an eye for talent. He is very good at hiring people. And he said it the other day, is that he's been able to go out and replace people with even better personnel. And he does it. I honestly don't know how long he can keep it up. I don't know how many people he has connections with, because that's what he's done. He's hired people he's close with, and then he's been able to go out and get guys he has faint connections with and been able to evaluate really well. Micah Scott-Simons, who also could be in consideration for that defensive coordinator spot down the line.
Well, on the other hand, yes, you wondered at what point do you run out? On the other hand, when you see the track record, is if you go to Memphis, you can springboard to these elite jobs. It probably makes it easier for him to recruit. You pointed out on Twitter that there, if Chris Ball accepts the Northern Arizona job, and there's no reason to think he won't, is there?
I don't know. He was hemming and hawing about it the other day when we talked to him about it. I don't think any decision will be made soon, but yeah, I do expect him to accept that job.
Okay, so the only ones left on staff, the original staff, are Ryan Silverfield, who has got lots of offers all the time from all kinds of people, Joe Lohrig, who's one of the best in the game, right, and Paul Randolph, who's really good. Like, those are that's it, right? Isn't it from the original staff?
Yeah, there's some support staff members, obviously, that have been around, but that main core of assistance has only been those three guys. And I know for a fact Ryan Silverfield, I mean, he's been looked at from NFL jobs and assistant jobs all over the place since he got here.
Yeah, it's incredible. Okay, so who do we think that if Chris Ball leaves, that means offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator. First of all, we do believe this suggests that Mike Norvell is coming back, right? Kenny Dillingham wouldn't be going to Auburn if Mike Norvell were getting a Power 5 job.
I don't know, honestly. I've heard it both ways, because that was something that obviously came to my mind last night when I saw this come across Twitter, and I reached out to people, and I've heard it both ways, is that, oh, well, the Auburn job was too good to pass up.
It's no matter what. Right. It's still better than a K-State. It's still better than a K-State offensive coordinator
job.
Right.
Because Kenny Dillingham can go to Auburn, and he can still recruit Oklahoma and Arizona, and he can still recruit the South and Texas and do what he wants to do. And there's a big question of whether he would have been able to have success in the same areas as Kansas State. But then, yeah, there is that relationship with Norvell where I think he probably would have gone if Norvell had asked him and gone to Kansas State. But that situation is still obviously up in the air, and I really don't know. I think that'll be solved by the end of the day. There's been no clarity in either direction, honestly.
Okay. If he stays and if he's got to replace defensive coordinator, who are the candidates now? Who do you see as possibilities?
Defensive coordinator, Scott Simons, linebacker coach. If he's going to hire from in-house, I think that could be him or Joe Lohrig. Scott Simons did a lot throughout the season. A lot of the changes they made were him and Chris Ball working together to get those done. If they're hiring outside, he could bring in Todd Graham. I've floated that around to a couple people, and it makes a lot of sense. He was at the Tigers game against Houston at the end of the season. He's been around the program. He's familiar with how Norvell works. They've been together a long time, and I think he's trying to work his way back into coaching after being off for a full season. But there is a question of whether he would want to work for Norvell, I think, because that would be a complete role reversal from where they were at every other stop they've been at. Dan Lanning is another one. He's done a fantastic job at Georgia. Those are the only names I've really – I don't know how much they've thought about defensive coordinator, honestly, because Chris Ball is still there. Offensive coordinator-wise, I'll be honest, Norvell is the offensive coordinator. Anybody who takes that job is going to
– Right.
Your job is basically game planning, some in-game stuff, and then you're hiring a quarterback's coach. I expect Norvell to work with the quarterbacks mostly through bowl prep, and they have – Ryan Silverfield, who has been doing a lot of game planning and a lot of the run game stuff, has been him. So we'll see on that front. I expect a few names will come out once we get closer to the bowl game. He could hire pretty much, I mean, it'll be a highly sought after position because of the situation those offensive coordinators put
in. Right. In terms of Darrell Henderson, we have not heard anything yet. But I got the distinct impression just from the way Norvell was talking about it at his last availability that, or the availability Friday, I guess it was, that the way that he was going out of his way to say that he supports Darrell Henderson, even if he doesn't play in the bowl game, suggested to me that he thinks Darrell Henderson is not going to play, is A, is not coming back, and then B, is not going to play in the bowl game. He sort of went out of his way to say, I'm going to hug him, I'm going to hug his neck, I'm going to... That's the impression I get. I guess I won't be stunned if he plays in the bowl game because he's a different kind of a dude. He never complained about carries. He never complained about... Like, he's a total workhorse team guy, Darrell Henderson is. But I don't think it makes sense to play in the bowl game. And you're seeing more and more. Will Greer decided over the weekend and... He's not necessarily even a first-round pick. He just decided he's not playing in his bowl game. I get the sense that Darrell Henderson may not play in that bowl game. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I'd be shocked if he plays at this point. I mean, he's missed 3 days of practice. I don't even think he's in Memphis right now, and I don't think he has been for a few days. So, yeah, I'd be shocked if he played in the bowl game and if he came back. I mean, I think the NFL is calling. He's in too good of a position to pass up if you go and play. As we know about Darrell Henderson, I mean, he struggled with injuries at times at Memphis, and if you go play in that bowl game and get hurt, it could change the conversation about you going forward. So, if he pulls his hamstring again or if his knee starts acting up again, what does that do? Can he participate in the combine, which was he's going to use to up his draft stock because he's – fast, he can run in that 40-yard dash, he's strong, he can do all the physical stuff, he's going to blow people away. If he gets hurt, he can't do that. So I would be shocked if he played at this point.
All right, on to basketball. I thought they looked better against UAB. They continue to look better. Not perfect, but better. And Kevin Davenport, he's an interesting dude because obviously the Tennessee game's coming up this week, and Tennessee looked tremendous in defeating the number one team in the country, Gonzaga. Admiral Schofield with a big shot to win it at the end. They're going to need Kevin Davenport to be good. They are so much better when he is good. If you look at his stats and their wins versus their losses, it's fairly startling, the difference between them. And he was good against UAB. You get the sense some of it's just confidence. You also get the some if he's not going up against the big, burly front line, which he was not at UAB, he's better. But I thought overall they looked better, and obviously Kevin was a lot better.
Yeah, I think it's partly both of the things you said. He's not confident against those bigger guys, those big, tough guys who he's going to have to battle with for the entire game. When he can use his speed and his quickness to get where he wants and he can pop up to the three-point line and his three-point shot is actually falling, then, yeah, you're going to see the good Kevin. But when he has to battle, I mean, it hasn't been there this season, and it really hasn't been there for two seasons. Like, he struggled against those big guys, those guys that are going to push him out of his spots and make him work for it. And I don't expect that to change, honestly, against Tennessee because – they got some big guys up there. They got some dudes.
That's going to be a problem, man. That is going to be like they are there for real. Like, I don't know if they're going to win the national title, but they are looking like a top five team in the country. There's no question about that. Obviously, nearly beat Kansas, and then to go into Gonzaga and beat the number one team in the country is incredibly impressive. It is the first time that Tennessee has beaten a number one since Kansas in 2010. Obviously, they beat Memphis in 2008.
First win over a number one ever for Rick Barnes, but yeah, they're men at Tennessee. Like anything can happen, and it's going to be a great atmosphere. But this does not look like a great matchup for your beloved Memphis Tigers.
No, and quite honestly, looking at it, you wonder if it was a good idea to schedule this Tennessee game. I understand wanting to bring that rivalry back, but I don't know if Memphis is in a situation where they can compete with Tennessee like this right now, because that Rick Barnes has them rolling. That's a monster of a team. I mean, you said they're top five. I think they're probably top two in the nation right now. I haven't seen very many teams that are better than them. And they're not even fully healthy right now.
Right.
They're rolling.
Let's just say they win by 25. Who cares? Next year, Memphis is going to have better players. Like, I mean, with all due respect, I don't mean who cares. Like, Memphis fans will be unhappy, but I don't know that it's a huge mistake. It's not going to enable Rick Barnes to come in here and recruit Memphis kids away from Penny.
Well, that may not. I mean, he's trying. I mean, he's in there with class 2020 point guard Matt Morrell. At one point, it was Memphis or Tennessee, but I think a bunch of other Power 5 schools have come in since then. That's one kid to watch because Tennessee wants him really bad. I mean, he was in there for an unofficial visit over the summer. But then also, I mean, how much confidence do you lose if you get slacked by one of your biggest – I don't know how big a rival – I guess Tennessee is one of your biggest rivals. How much confidence do you lose losing by 25 like that to an out-of-conference opponent when you need confidence right now because it's been such an up-and-down season? How much does it do for development playing against a team that is so – outmatched physically now.
They're just physically done. That is the problem, is that, and we've seen this from this team. Like they do best when they can physically match up. When there is little, I mean, they're itty bitty team. They got little guards. They've got and plus they're going to be trying to do. I worry that they're going to be trying to do too much as well. That's the other thing. This team plays best when it is in control, and they get out. Saturday was the first game of the season where they had more assists than turnovers.
And it was also the first game where it just seemed like the guards had settled down. Like Kyle Harris was whipping the ball around. Alex Lomax seemed in control for a good majority of the game. He wasn't taking wild shots. He wasn't doing things that made you like, okay, this guy is definitely a freshman. And they all across the board, they seemed to have settled down. Antoine Jones seemed to be in control of himself. Davenport was doing good things and not – I mean, he fouled out, but a couple of those were ticky-tacky calls that could have gone either way. Isaiah Maurice is the only person who kind of reverted back to his bad tendencies and he fouled out and he got a technical and he seemed frustrated in the majority of the game.
Yeah, but he's another guy who I don't know how he's going to do against tough guys, right? I mean, he's another guy. He's a skilled guy. Anyway, I like the progress they're making. I appreciate it. Any in terms of Memphis basketball recruiting, or Memphis football recruiting. Obviously, Mike Norvell's out hitting it hard right now. What's football's priority in recruiting right now?
They had a guy named Jaleel Clemens in town over the weekend for an official visit, defensive lineman, who's currently committed to Tennessee. Memphis really likes him. They want him pretty bad. But right now, I guess they're going to have to look at who they're going to lose assistant-wise and how that could affect recruiting, because one of their biggest targets, their highest-rated commit, was the Kenny Dillingham recruit and Cole Mashburn. Kenny had been on him for a long, long time. Worked to get him into Memphis, and now going to a Power 5 school where that kid could fit in and play, that could change things if they
would end up Kenny. Would Kenny take him to Auburn away from Memphis?
I mean, I don't see why he wouldn't. If they feel like he fits in at Auburn, I mean, they'll offer him right away. I mean, because they'd be able to get him.
That's stabbing your mentor in the back. That is stabbing your mentor. You do wonder, honestly. I wouldn't be surprised if there are agreements made. Leave him with us. Like, those things happen. I understand your loyalty is to your new place, but when you're as close as Dillingham and Norvell are, when he's responsible for your career, I wouldn't be surprised if there are conversations like that. All right, and then in basketball, what are we seeing on the basketball recruiting front?
So Matthew Hurd set up a bunch of official visits so far. I don't think he has one set to Memphis. I think it's Memphis, Duke, and Kentucky, Duke, and Kansas right now. Trenton Watford's still out there. He's playing pretty well. DJ Jeffries is killing it right now over at Olive Branch. And James Wiseman having a really, really good season down there at East. Like, he's putting up 25 points and 14 rebounds, 20 rebounds, 5 blocks a game. I mean, he's doing some incredible things on the basketball floor for East right now. Still kind of wondering what they're doing with their guards. Damian Ball was at the game over the weekend. I would be willing to bet they have a lot of guys in for this Tennessee game over the weekend. It's going to be probably the best atmosphere of the season, so they'll probably want to take advantage of it.
Jonah, thanks very much. You can follow Jonah Jordan at it's at Jonah underscore Jordan. Is that right?
At underscore Jonah Jordan.
At put the underscore in the wrong place. These damn underscores. I got to get rid of. I got to change my name so it doesn't have an underscore. At underscore Jonah Jordan and read his stuff at the Daily Memphis. Thank you, Jonah.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
If you are having a difficult time finding the perfect gift, and I know some of us fit this category, think about it. Goulds can be your one-stop shop. You can get 5 Goulds gift cards, right? You take care of your Christmas list all at once. No more running around fighting the Christmas hustle and bustle. Literally, I don't think there's anyone on your list who does not love a massage, wants to be pampered for the holidays. Goulds Day Spa. Locations convenient for everyone on your list. So just go in there and think, let's see, I got 2 sisters. I got, for me, let's just say, let's say it's for me, right? Now, most of mine don't live, my siblings and don't live here.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't, Goulds, I hope that their next location is going to be in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see, I could, Sally, Lucy, Joan, and Ellen, that's 4,
mm-hmm.
right? Mom.
Mm-hmm.
That's 5. In-laws.
Your nieces.
Yeah. Nieces. That's 18, right? Like, you can, but the point is you can go and you can knock it, and it is, you will bring pleasure to the person when you present them the gift, and then pleasure again when they cash in the gift. Because Goulds Day Spa is the only place in Memphis where you get can have a full spa experience. Mani pedi, hair done, massage, all of this. You get a beautiful catered lunch. Now, you can get all these. You go in there and they'll put them in a lovely little box, a little lovely box with a red ribbon, and you just knock it all out at once. Like, be done with this and make a whole lot of people happy. Goulds Day Spa is the place to go. You can check in at any of their locations: Poplar Plaza, Park Place, Overton Square, Germantown, Cordova, Downtown, Houston Levy, Collierville, Forest Hill, Olive Branch, Wolf Chase. You get an idea? They're all over the place. Or go to GouldsSalonSpa.com. When we come back, Chris Harrington's going to join us. It's Jeff Gawkins, Show 92.9 FM ESPN.
Dashing down the street with candles all aflame, by car, by horse, by feet, hooray for holiday games. Very small and bright, a scratchable delight. What fun it is to play and give holiday games tonight. Holiday games, holiday games, holiday instant games. Oh, what fun they are to play throughout the holidays.
Give the gift of holiday instant games only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
The big guy's not going to like these.
Why not? They're slim, light, and easy to add on to gifts. He'll be over his sled when he sees them.
I don't know, Reggie. There's more to the Tennessee Lottery holiday instant games than you think. We're giving away real chances to win. And guess who has to deliver all that loot?
I don't know. The lottery?
Oh, good point.
This winter, get to work on our newest bundle of holiday instant games, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing, elf-approved fun. Please play responsibly.
The holiday season has arrived, so if you're like me, Gary Parrish, you probably have parties to attend and you might not want to show up empty-handed. So you might want to grab a bottle of New Amsterdam Vodka to make sure you're not empty-handed. New Amsterdam Vodka, it's a premium 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains. It's 5 times distilled for unparalleled smoothness, filtered 3 times to create a soft finish. And as you surely know by now, it's so smooth, you can drink it straight. And yes, it really is what I buy when I'm inside the liquor store. And that's because it's an awesome vodka that's reasonably priced, which is among the reasons it is New Amsterdam, the fastest growing brand of vodka in the United States of America. If you're into flavored vodkas, New Amsterdam offers a variety. The newest is grapefruit, but they also have apple, peach, orange, mango, pineapple, red berry, coconut, lemon, raspberry. So if you're into flavored vodkas, New Amsterdam, they got you covered. Please ask for it by name when you're in a bar, restaurant, or in a wine and spirit store. That's New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out on the web, newamsterdamspirits.com. Regional1Health.com. Hey, this is Gary Parrish, and you probably know my wife and I had a baby at Regional One Health nearly 2 years ago. We were in a dicey situation, but everything went smoothly, and I cannot recommend them enough. But as I've told you before, you don't have to experience an emergency to get great care from Regional One Health. Right now, I'm here with Dr. Khanna, a gynecologist who just recently started seeing patients at Regional One Health's East Campus.
Yes, I'm so pleased to be able to have a convenient office location for patients in East Memphis.
So what types of patients can come and see you?
Patients can come and see me for general GYN and well women's services, which includes treating the effects.